Alrighty, it is August 14th. This is a special meeting of the Board of Directors for Groveland Community Services District. We're going to call the meeting to order, and the first thing we will do is send the Pledge of Allegiance.
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I will call for roll call. Director Mora.
Present.
Director Pitkowski will be in. Director Armstrong.
Here.
Director Edward.
Here.
And Director Stein.
Present.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just before we get started, members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on members' district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on total individual time. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
For the purposes of recording, even though we have no public in attendance on the Zoom platform, I just wanted to let you know that you can submit comments by email at board@gcsd.org. You can use the raise your hand function on the Zoom platform or submit your comments by chat. As we go along, we'll recognize those comments and answer questions and receive your input. We want that input.
Yes.
We make it pretty easy.
We want it so bad we even allow it during split them.
I'm actually surprised there's not people responding. All right, so we don't have like an order of agenda or anything to have to okay everyone. So we'll just go into the first item, which is an adoption of a resolution approving the Department of Forestry and Fire Protection Agreement under the Volunteer Fire Capacity Program of the Cooperative Forestry Assistance Act of 1978. And to authorize the general manager to sign and execute said agreement and any amendments on behalf of the district.
So this is a grant that we receive pretty much every single year. The money's already been received. However, we need to adopt this resolution and submit it to finalize the grant process. In the past, the fire department usually uses this for the purchase of turnout sets because they're a little over $5,000 a piece. And they intend to use the funds for that again this year for purchase of 3 full turnout sets. So we're very grateful to the fire department that they submit this every single year and are successful in obtaining it.
Any discussion from the board members?
I'll move to adopt resolution 39, whatever it is, 39-2023.
39-2023, which I'm not going to read again. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. There is 4-0. Nancy, I'm going to print you the public hearing script right now. Sorry, I didn't have that prepared for you. That's okay. We can still introduce the item and then I'll do the discussion and then we'll move into the.
All right. So, number two, public hearing. Conduct public hearing regarding the adoption of the fiscal year 2023-2024 final budget. An adoption of a resolution approving the fiscal year 2023-2024 final budget, including appropriation limit, investment district funds policy, miscellaneous fee schedule, employee salary schedule, and organizational chart. It's like rattling like right now.
Okay, so the board at the June 29th meeting had adopted the preliminary budget in addition to these other attachments that Nancy just named off. There hasn't been much that's changed from the preliminary budget to this proposed final budget. I did prepare the budget memorandum, though, to accompany it this time, so you can get into the nitty-gritty of everything, which I'll address in just a second. But the couple of things that changed were in the original preliminary budget, the sewer fund was short about $134,000, which required us to have an interfund transfer from the water fund. Since one of the changes that had happened and since then was that we updated to actual cash balances before we just had a projected one. So when we updated after the June 30th date, the actual fund balance increased. So we no longer had that. We actually have... $134,513 in the positive, ending with the sewer fund. The other thing that changed was we added in the capital for water. We added a new PLC, the programmable logic controllers for the Big Creek Water Treatment Plant. That's $110,000 that needed to be added. Apparently, these are extremely critical in the whole operation and function of the water treatment facility. And if these go down, we're not making water.
So is this a replacement? This isn't just buying new PLCs. This is an entire new system.
Yes, replacing one of the PLCs.
Well, I mean, a PLC is a chip. I mean, so these are, this is the entire control system. They're updating it so that it's not, they're not using old programmable logic controllers anymore. I mean, old out of date ones. Is that, I'm trying to understand.
Yes, we do have
one thing so much. Okay.
All right.
And I mean, if that's it, that's well, because we've been running on we can't get 20 years,
right? We can't get parts for them, so we're at the point now where this one needs to be replaced.
Are we going to have the same thing for the other plant?
We will. Yeah. In total, it's if we were replacing
because now we're going to have an incompatible system
between the two, right? Yeah. Yep. Steve could answer the question much more clearly than I, but this is the cost to get us where we need to be. We just can't rebuild them anymore. So I can go grab Steve if you want to know the exact particulars of it, but
maybe I could ask him that.
Louie's in here. Please answer this question. The PLC that's in there for $110,000.
Yes.
Is that replacing and updating the entire thing? It's not just.
Yes, it's.
I mean,
all the major audits is that there's two PLCs that's for the UV building and for the main building. It's going to replace them. It's redoing all the wiring, all the programming, everything to get those switched out to new units.
So we're changing the entire system so that we can use programmable logic controllers that are now available.
Yes. And they'll have a lot more security features on these as well. And the other thing we're going to be able to do is take those and keep those for backup for second Grody until we switch those out. Well, what happened was right. They went out there to do a couple of different things and they removed power from it and it's lost its program. Steve was able to get the first time get it reprogrammed. The second time it didn't work. So he sent it in to get it repaired. And we had one that we bought off eBay, plugged it in.
This is replacing something so we don't have to get things out of eBay. That's a good point.
So.
Alan Bradley?
Yes.
Yeah.
You had a question about a statement about incompatibility. We're talking about.
Well, he's just saying plans. Your backups will now go to second Grody until you replace second Grody because you don't have two different systems that use different components.
Yeah. Yep. It's all programmed.
Just until you change the other one.
Right. I'll take pictures of it. And it's not an easy task. They got to pull out all the wires. And you're looking at the PLC like the size of your phone, right?
Right.
And you got this thing in this cabinet that's this big, and it's just cards, right? And you've got thousands of wires that plug into there. So they got to pull every single one of them out, label them, and get them back in on the new PLC. But I'll take pictures of it because it's It's not
controls a lot of things.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So most of that's probably going to be labor, the program and development. The equipment's the minute part.
Big job. Hey, we need to do it.
Yeah, they'll have a lot more security features and just all.
Yeah, I mean, the old system is at least 15 years old. Make a point.
Yep.
Okay. Just going to go through some of the highlights of the fiscal year 22-23 budget. We don't have actuals in yet, but it looks like for the water fund, we have expenses over revenue by $39,313. Sewer fund, we came in with revenue over expenses, $309,919. Fire, expenses over revenue, $26,062. And park, revenue over expense, $50,125. So it looks like projected what's going to be the bottom line for those funds. Just for operating expense, we did accomplish $5,524,422 worth of capital improvement projects last fiscal year. So,
wow,
that's quite a big number. We've got a lot with that. Louie has outlined that work in the items below, just saying, you know, what each project was and how much money was spent for that project. So moving on into the current fiscal year, we are falling short, projected to fall short in every fund, which I know I discussed at the preliminary budget. Water revenue looks like it's going to fall short, $705,299. Sewer falls short by $301,828.
Jim, will you tell us what page you're
on? I'm
as
sorry.
We go, just because
I'm on page 30.
I was going to say there's so many in about the time you think you're going to find it, go past it.
Okay. So page 38, underneath the line graph. 30. So sewer revenues fall short, $301,828. Fire has a shortfall of $338,162. And park has fall short,
$13,423. Falling short.
Yeah. Well, we do have, so we're in the middle right now of our water and sewer rate study, which we have known that we needed. We haven't had a water rate increase in, this is the third year, I believe, and this is our first year without a sewer.
And that was just the last couple of those.
Yes. Yeah, really small. Definitely didn't account for the inflation that we experienced as a result of the pandemic. We, as far as the rate study goes, we have given them all the information. They are working on they were waiting on the capital improvement plans out of the water and wastewater master plans. We met with them last week and they showed us some of the numbers and some of the models, but they're waiting to get more solid numbers there, and then they'll be presenting us with some different rate models for that. So that is moving forward. We should have, I expect that West to be completed with that definitely by through the end of the year, like the process. And let's see. And then as far as everything else, we cut back. So we cut out of capital. On page 36, you'll see the items that we removed from capital because we couldn't, in order for the sewer fund to balance. So there was a significant amount of items that are needed that had to be removed in order to balance the sewer fund budget. Let's see. And as far as budget implications, so we have on page 37, I kind of outlined those. So due to drastically increasing expenses and flat water revenue, our operating revenue and expense do not balance, and we will be spending $978,526 of our water fund balance cash to operate and complete improvements and cover operating expense. The same will be said for sewer. We will be spending $627.85 out of our sewer fund cash balance to balance the budget. And then we removed approximately $385,675 from sewer capital in order to balance the budget. And then, as we know, we definitely need a fire tax measure. So anyway, that's just a little, I know that I have a pretty detailed memo that I was, I'm hoping you guys all had the chance and opportunity to go through that kind of walks through the budget, since it's pretty, there's just a lot to it. If there's something specific that anybody would like to focus on, we can do that. So other than that, there's not much. I mean, we've operating expense, we've budgeted based on the inflation that we're experiencing. Capital was really kept to what was absolutely needed this year.
It's thin. There's not a lot of, so there's a couple of just little things. I know you don't really like to have them four lines on your caps, but you have, how big is the OPEB expense? And you have it lumped in with other, since that's been such a touchy thing in the past. I was wondering if we should.
I'll have to look. I can look into it, but it's funded. Our OPEB was funded from our,
Right.
Okay.
Is it low enough that it's just an ancillary thing? We don't need to track it. Is it our expense for it? Is it an extra thing?
It's, yeah, it's reduced significantly. Most of the, what the costs we had were either one, we've lost the employees that were vested that would have the retirement mm-hmm. for that, or the existing are retirees and on Medicare, which is a drag.
Oh, right. No, I mean, you remember, you know, OPEB was a big
deal. It was
deal.
A big deal.
Okay. And so it's not a big deal. Maybe you can get back to me. I just, since it's not on the list. The other, and this is just, the other thing is just sort of a technical aside, but as far as the COLA, we probably should have had another board action for this fiscal year rather than just saying we said to do it last year and to exceed the MOE last year. And just, I mean, I think we all approve it from a formal standpoint. We probably should have had a board action about it.
Specific to the MOU?
Exceeding the max in the MOU. We did last year. We had a solution, but we didn't do it. We then went and just said, well, we're going to do the same thing, but we didn't kind of, I don't think we extended it as a blanket.
A forever resolution?
Yeah. So, I mean, just from, as a formality, we probably up to that actual board resolution, which I think would have been the problem. Always a thing.
Yeah.
But it, the MOU does say 3% max.
I mean, we need to keep our employees.
That's all.
Yes, a bit more, but we have to afford it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's a documentation thing.
Yeah, there's a formality for that. If we do it again next year, we should probably.
Well, we can do it just on the consent calendar for the next. Board meeting, just mirror what we did.
Yeah, that's just, it's just as a formality because it is actually violating.
That's very, very consistent with what others are doing.
But I mean, we have to do it. I mean, yeah. Pull those call. Yeah. So what is yeah. possible?
Yeah, and Bob, I think there's a. Like a running list that I have is just as far as the MOE, because that is coming up next year. We're going to have to, it's already been 5 years. So there's a lot of things that have come up as a result of things that, you know, just record inflation, things that will allow for that flexibility and account for it in the MOU. So we're not having to worry, like you said, about violating
it. That's probably a good idea. We've got to learn from what happens. That's all.
Quick question. The items that were removed from this year's budget, these items were included. Were these items included in what I've been reading all weekend? Or was this
the capital that's been removed?
Page 36, fuel tank project, truck 17, truck 3, Bob, that's the sphere.
Those are they're removed from the budget, and they were removed from the preliminary budget that was adopted.
Okay.
I'm just bringing it to the board's attention and to be transparent to show that, you know, just because you come in with a balanced we had to balance it, but these are the items that are needed, and I still wanted to reflect that and have and the amount associated with them.
And let's just skip that.
And it's balanced just from the perspective of cash.
Yeah.
To be able to fund the operating expense, the commitments that we make to operations. It's not funded in terms of the capital improvement program in total and going forward and any contingencies, any reserve set aside, any of that. None of that's included in this budget. This is really, you know, just keeping things moving forward. And it's a little bit concerning when you're, you know, at the point where you don't have a line item contingency and you cut all of the other things out of the budget. So we definitely have to be really diligent and get the rate study done, make sure that it contains the information that we need and make the decision about rates going forward. We've done a lot of improvements, which will ultimately keep the cost down in the future. People will ask, you know, is that going to reduce our rates in the future? Well, that's a pretty easy answer. Unless someone comes in and just gives us a completely different source of funding, the rates will never go down, except unless you've got a debt service component, which we've got in both water and sewer.
And those are almost paid off.
Right.
That's almost paid off. When I started here, a lot more years than that. It's like, they're getting close to 2 years of the barrier. At the end of next year. 2024.
Yeah, there's 2026. Never mind.
I was just going to say the millions of improvements that we have made, it will have a 50-year plus life, which is pretty solid. Keeps the cost down.
We haven't done a lot for 50 years.
Yeah. Catching up.
We're on life cycle one.
I mean, we've had to do this.
I took some
notes last night.
This is a really good note.
Yeah, yes, it's very, very good.
I kind of
read it and went, no,
yeah.
One.
Yeah,
she couldn't.
Yo,
luckily,
here and I am not. Luckily, this lovely lady next to me. She will be taking that responsibility on, and I will just be, you know, looking it over. Yes. I think it ages me like 3 years. Every budget cycle. It's intense.
Has everybody heard that, Michelle?
Yes.
I think we all. I thought we were all here.
That is really going to be awesome because when it's such an intense time to put everything together, to make sure that it's accurate, to make sure that it's forward thinking and that we're carrying things over from last year, you know, and that it's clean, because, you know, when you make $1 million mistakes, that's kind of hard to recover from. But with Michelle getting acclimated to it, and I think it's going to become much more of a whole process. You know, we'll be able to actually take a step back and look at it and make sure that it's that it does what we want it to do, because it's the budget has gotten quite a bit bigger with all the capital projects and everything else. We're doing a lot with a shorter number of people administratively and in finance than most entities do, and so we'd like to keep it that way if we can.
I know it's sitting here like when the rate studies were implementing those, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We're shooting for the
first of the year. I'm hoping is, you know, we'll get September, October, when the board will be looking at numbers and we'll be deciding where we're gonna go. Then we'll go through the Prop 218 process of notification, the public hearing. So probably, which I hate. I like it to be the fiscal year because then it's nice and clean for everything. And you get this weird calendar year change. So. But yeah, probably around the first of the year.
So I found my note. Reading that each of the four services are short a total of $1.5 million.
As you're talking
about the water, park, sewer, fire.
That were for this current fiscal
budget, yeah.
Yeah, we're estimated for operating expense to exceed revenue by, I mean, I didn't add all the four funds together, but that's, yeah.
That's a lot of money trying to mix up somewhere. How do you do that? We have to, we're going to wait for the rate increase in January.
Well, you know, again, the budget is our best guess. So there's things that may not happen. The cost might come in, you know, less. It traditionally, it has been that way. I mean, we're getting, our budgeting has gotten really close. So we're pretty accurate as far as that goes. But yeah, either something, you know, something will get cut. We have a couple of items in there. Like we've had the organizational study that we have put off for a couple of years now. I think that's like 60 grand. That would probably end up getting, you know, things here and there that will either be put off or not done or not ordered.
Yeah, it's gonna. No, I mean, there's, the balance. Thing is, there is gonna be a big. It's gonna hit our reserves pretty sharp.
That's
Even if we get our, you know, even if we get the, you know, not beating a dead horse, but right. If we, you know, waiting this long to get the rate studies done is gonna stress us. I mean, once we get that done, then the ongoing expense should be okay, but the drop in reserves is not gonna get fixed right away.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's what we're doing. So when we, because we've already done that, we're already doing that. Our expenses are coming in over revenue. So we're pulling down that cash fund balance and we have significantly, like there is no money in sewer. We're ending at $134,000 in deposit of all the money in sewer. So.
The problem is where we are in expenses, the only cuts to make are in personnel because we can't change the way that the business operates, the way that, you know, the chemicals, the electricity, all of the maintenance that's involved, the testing, the state permitting, all of that stuff is still going to take place. So you're kind of at the point where that's the next reduction, which is the, it's not in sewer, it's not going to work.
How can you run the place if you start cutting personnel?
Right.
Well, this is what happened to the district several years ago, isn't it? Isn't it kind of what happened to the district, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, with the board before us? You guys were here.
Yeah, we cut a lot of personnel.
Well, it was most of, yeah, you, that was
before because the rates were decreased. Because there was no rate increase.
Right.
No, yes.
No, yeah. And we're doing a rate increase.
It wasn't.
Everybody's became.
I mean, we did the first one.
It wasn't the first choice.
We did the first water rate increase in quite a while, and that, as it turns out, was also the last water rate increase.
Right. That was the one where we had the meeting at Community Hall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
well, that's no more, so we'll have it here or there.
That was
going to do. But yeah, we cut a lot of people, and obviously it wasn't the right, wasn't a good thing to do. Because now we're trying to build that back up. Got to run this place.
Sure.
It takes people to operate.
Yeah.
Right.
And they need to be paid.
And I would say, as far as like when we say we cut people, we didn't terminate people. People left and then the vacancies weren't filled and then they said, decided we didn't. You're just going to give that now to this other person. So, yeah, nobody actually had positions cut.
Jobs and duties were shuffled around a little bit.
But yeah.
And not filled. Not in many, in many cases, not done.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the. With stress and system. So yeah, it's I'm not saying it's a dire emergency, but we've got our eyes on it really closely.
We have to make sure you're
there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about today and in adoption of a budget and the ability to be able to operate going into this fiscal year.
I'm just saying it's dire because we don't, for example, have 2 years worth of reserves.
Pretty soon. And moving on, and moving forward, we have to pay these people to stay here, or we end up where we were before, where we just become a doormat. People come here, learn, and they leave, and that's not good. And so, I mean, this new grade study, we've got to make sure that it's going to, you know, increase, do what we need to do to keep people here on this place.
So have we hired people for positions that were overqualified, and we're paying them more to keep them.
No, we're paying employees based off of the market,
right?
And we're paying them the median of the comparator agencies,
right?
That's what they're paid at.
And you know, a lot of
but then we're told that we need to pay them more to keep them.
Does I think that go
above the median?
I'm saying we need to keep it up.
We need to keep up with the market.
Yeah, keep up with the market, absolutely. Yeah. But then there's something in here about paying people that have moved beyond their, I mean, they're doing, like, for instance, Rachel. You know, she did so much more and is so much more capable than what you had originally hired her for. And she's just a tremendous employee, and I'm not sure what her pay scale is as far as, you know, she's fabulous. Of course, we're going to keep her and then give her more money. That's what I'm talking about. We have positions that Louis hired for to help him, and they have turned into management positions.
But each of these, so Rachel's position, she has a such. There's a 1, 2, and 3, and Rachel's operating at she's at a 3 level right now, and there's an approved salary schedule that's based off of the median for the comparator agencies that she's being compensated at. So they move up, but it's not, we're not just paying somebody, you're great. We have that built into the district for people who advance to say, okay, now you meet this criteria of this approved position because you're doing all of these duties,
okay.
And there's a pay associated with that. Okay. Nobody's getting paid.
Well,
like,
there's some place in there where
the whole pay grade thing is. We've got 100 pay grades.
But there is some mention of like merits.
So each of the salary.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
yes.
Step rate. Step rate.
Yeah, each position has a step. Well, I mean, 5 steps.
Right.
So if an employee, so they're like, you know, an administrative services tech 1, there's at each year they can move up. So the next step and the next step and the next step before then they move to like a level 2.
Mm-hmm.
If they're performing, they meet all their goals and objectives, they're going to bump up to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how, so that's what a merit increase is.
But it's still within the,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, that's not how I read it. Yeah, I don't think I understood it.
And hypothetically, if you get to the top level in the pay grade, step 5, then you're not actually qualified to move up into another, you know, move up a pay grade or a different pay grade, then you stay at step 5.
Yes.
Okay.
And you get 5 merit. That's correct.
Correct.
It's like up to 5 merit reviews. And if you just happen to be, that's your, where you're comfortable and that's what you're good at doing, and you can't move up to another promotion, essentially, to a different job function, then you just stay there and get the whole thing.
I didn't mean to single you out.
No, it's okay.
You're a perfect example.
You know, everybody's promoted within the salary range that the board has adopted and approved. There's no unilateral. You're great and you're.
You know, I wouldn't even say call that a promoted, because promoted to me is going from one grade,
yeah.
You know,
right.
One title or whatever you want to call it to another. Those are just step progressions.
Well, yeah,
you know,
we call
a year.
Promoted is into a whole nother, you know, you're going from a 1 to then being promoted to
merit,
a 2.
That's kind of like above and beyond. When I think of a merit, grade,
it's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
You know, it's kind of
it's above and beyond.
Right.
It's you're out right. of the normal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't move. So a lot of places, I guess we call that because it's performance based. You don't just spend
right.
a year and move up
no.
into
yeah.
which a lot of places will do. So we have termed it merit because you've got to earn it in order to advance either to the next position or to progress through your salary, existing salary range.
Through certification and everything else.
Through everything. I mean, not even just certification. You know, a lot of people can take tests, but they can't perform. So
yeah.
in the performance, you know, there's the goals that are set by supervisors and managers that are based off of your career path. So like what the next, you know, the description of what a 2 looks like. We're always trying to get people there. So
yeah.
responsibilities and things that are in a two level, those start getting set, yeah. Like how you start progressing there. That's what supervisors and managers' jobs are, is to help advance employees to that career path and give them goals, responsibilities, and objectives to accomplish in order to advance.
That also, by doing that, that keeps people here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so important to do this.
Well, I think it's obvious. Look how we haven't had any turnover.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I believe it was saying a couple years to 8 years.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have $5 million with the capital done. You wouldn't have any of these things that have been accomplished without the people. And, you know, just the people are what get stuff done.
Any just public members who are going to start and surprise, at least some aren't here, you know, study this. You know, if they see that we're like $1.5 million short, because that's you know, jaw dropping. It's a small percentage of our total budget, but for the average person to look at it, it's jaw dropping. So what, you know, we need to be fiscally responsible, and I believe we're doing that, but to kind of be able to remember to point out we have $5.5 million worth of improvements that over time is going to offset some of that, you know, whatever. I mean, just so they don't think we're just, you know, spending money on nothing. There's stuff happening.
Yeah, but in addition to that, just the operating expense alone is in, not even before we do all that, the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it looks like it's bad, but at the same time, it's the story you need to tell if you're going to do a rate increase. You need to show you don't have money. You're not going to make it, because that's why, you know, you have those in the first place. So if you're showing that you got great reserves and everything's looking great, and anybody who wants to come in and look at the district's finances, you know, people say, oh, just cut this. Okay. Well, you show me where this can be cut. Because like what Pete said, these are fixed costs. There's no saying we're not going to pay PG&E what they want. We're not going to do the chemicals, and we're not going to cut the staff, because then nothing else gets done. And then it's going to cost you much more money to operate. So
look at the economy lately. I mean, you know, fuel, just fuel alone is twice as much as it used to be 3 years ago. So, I mean, that right there alone, that's just fuel. The chemicals and everything, because it's all relates.
Yeah.
Everything that we buy relates to fuel.
Right.
Because they got to ship it.
But if you're looking at the from the constituents' view, everything that they buy has gone up also.
Well, of course. So they should understand.
You know, so
this.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
you know,
their
monies
aren't going that.
Oh, mine isn't,
you know,
either. Except their price of water.
Right.
Well, it will.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything's got to get, you know, I mean, look at your PG&E bills versus last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at your gasoline bill versus last year, your grocery bills. It all relates to fuel. It all relates to that. Everything in this economy relates to fuel, because everything has to shift.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice if we didn't have such a crazy inflation and the economy being where it is during the rate.
Well, that's California people.
That's not being shipped. That's local.
Well, yeah. But then you've got things like, okay, Brad just bought wood for his place, you know, finished wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shipped from California when they could have made it in Idaho. But there's a law that states they have to ship it.
Well, I don't think it's any secret
that
we live in a very expensive state.
Yes.
Yes.
Everything's very expensive in California. To do this business is very expensive. To be in business is very expensive. To do anything, California is a very expensive state. So, anyways, any other questions?
And whenever we get the right studies, we'll do our little community meeting, and we'll. Again, that's kind of a.
We should have hard hats.
All of us. That would actually be
good. It's always a fun thing.
Yeah. Showing up with hard hats on there. But yeah, I mean, you know,
white cowboy hats, something.
Anybody who only sees the deficit number, you know, you will, well, with all of you guys, but you'll do a fabulous presentation like you always do. pointing out all of these different things, all of that. You know, they saw the sewer changes going through big old flat stuff, but that was yesterday, and it was kind of seamlessly done. It didn't take very long. That's right. One of the best highway repair jobs I've ever driven across. I mean, you can't even tell that you just hit a repair, you know, so we're just going to have to be ready for all of that.
People, you know, tend not to see a lot of that stuff, too. You know, it's like they don't understand what the fire department does.
Well, I think they see it, but they would never imagine, because they're just, because it was, especially that project, it's all over the place. So if you really only ever travel, you know, Big Old Flat to Groveland, it's like, oh, there's three patches left. Three patches, that shouldn't be $5 million, you know, because they don't understand the intensity. I don't think most people, I don't think anybody could almost sit here and watch it.
Well,
live it.
Like, well, and there's no waste. GCSE has no waste. You know, people can say, you know, even if they wanted to target staff, the district is not, we're actually below the median now, I can tell you that. So staff are not being, there's no overpaid staff here. The operating costs are what they are, so there's nothing. It just, unfortunately, like, nobody's gonna, but it is what it is. It's what everybody, we're no different than what you're facing at home. Your power's more, grocery bills more. It's the same thing for us. And in order for us to keep operating and delivering the quality of service that we're required to, that's, you know.
Well, and then on top of it, we get things that are forced down on for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. You have regulations that come down from top and they're not going to pay for it. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's, I mean, everything. The fire department, the park, everything has to deal with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's called unfunded mandates.
When can we send out that audit again and have people fill out the paperwork so we can get more?
You talking about the salary, the income survey?
No.
Which audit?
The one for the grants where we get people went to fill it out because they didn't want the government knowing.
That's the income survey.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When can we do that again?
The state's not going to do it for us.
We can fund them anytime. They cost between $35,000 and $60,000.
Really?
I mean, you know, to because in many cases, this one probably wasn't as much because all they did was mail it twice and then crunch the numbers. But the state is not going to just do another one unless there's some economic factor that changed. That they think there would be a different outcome. And there really hasn't been, because it's not expense, it's income.
Well, and in reality, the people who didn't follow the survey, because we had them isolate, I mean, specifically Groveland and Big Oak Flat. Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough to change the numbers. And what's very difficult is you just have a massive discrepancy where High Mountain Lake people, residents, the majority of them, make a lot of money. There were a lot of Bay Area money, a lot of retirement, and then you've got the town of Groveland. And the numbers are, I mean, I was a little bit more confident after we did our own, we looked into the Groveland. But and what's difficult is the state will not separate those two. They don't realize that this faction of the community is extreme, like you're making this disadvantaged part of the community be forced to pay on an average salary, it was $86,000, you know, their rates are being forced because of this other, and the you know, we've asked the state and it's a predicament that I just struggle with, because you just have a huge discrepancy in our community of income and the impacts to those that don't have that level of income. It's, I mean, an $86,000 median income is very significant.
And it wouldn't be hard to, because High Mountain Lake is an HOA. I mean, there's going to be a list of every single person. I mean, it would be easy for them to break it into two different groups, because they're obviously not willing to do that.
They don't have the mechanism in place to allow for that, and that's kind of where
the regulatory mechanism.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't consider that an end all at this point. It's very specific, it's been so far very specific to one source of funding, and that's the State Water Board's State Revolving Fund. And that's, you know, that's an obvious ongoing source of money, both loan and grant, that, that is attractive, but it's not the only source. I mean, we got the money from DNR for the water system. We're looking at $3.2 million for the Big Oak Flat Groveland water distribution system improvements. It's only a portion of the project. But, you know, it's at this point, you know, we may have to look to other financing mechanisms to be able to get it done. You know, the USDA has a very subsidized 40-year rate for their money. That's what TUD is using for the, I don't remember what it is, 18 million or whatever that they have to borrow to do their wastewater treatment plan. So, not that we want to go and borrow a whole bunch more money, but that's, you know, when your interest rate is like 1.5%, something like that, it's federally subsidized. That's a pretty good way to do it. Because we're just never going to be able to accumulate the cash in the bank to go do multi-million dollar projects.
What was with another area I see people at that meeting complaining about will be the park? Because even though I think it's very well justified in all this, I think that, you know, you have to have that.
That'll have nothing. They can complain about the park, and you tell them that this is a meeting about water rates.
Well,
and
but
the park is
happening. They'll to them.
We have to explain to
exactly.
them that.
But yeah,
even if they refuse to.
They just see it if we're spending money on something.
Water is water. Sewer is sewer.
Grass is grass.
Yeah.
Well, the park and fire department are having taxes.
Yeah,
right.
We know that.
But
we're not.
But the Proctuates, but they're not covered by. Because it's ad valorem, it's not covered by Proctuate 18, which is fees. So the whole point, I mean, the meeting itself, you should, that nobody ever really brought that up. When we went through our last Proctuate 18, people tend to realize that they're talking about sewer or they're talking about water.
Well, anyways, my point was going to be that the loan that we did take out for our portion of the parks.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The communication stuff. And see people complaining about that because people complain.
Right. Now, people do get confused. I mean, you know, why would you use that, you know, $1 million in the park when you could have used it for sewer?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an incorrect statement.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prepared to answer that.
The answer is we can't do this.
Right.
We
can
only well, my response is ARC is a service of ours, just like water, just like sewer. We have a dilapidated restroom. We have turf that's uneven. It's not handicap accessible. We're going to be in business for that service. We're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're going to, I mean, what do you want us to have? Nope. I mean, we have
cement with old slime.
No, then you'd have to complain. Yeah. So, you know, it's a service of ours that has been significantly neglected, is not up to compliance. And that's really, you know, in reality, there's been nothing invested in that park since
years.
I don't know, the
80s. The investments in the park will increase revenue. Guaranteed. They'll increase reservation revenue. It will increase donation revenue. And it will also reduce operating expense because there will be volunteer groups that will take care of things.
Are we ever going to get any money from the bus services that like to use it there?
Hopefully, eventually. Yeah. I mean, we need to adopt a permit system of some sort. And of course, you know, then you got to look at, okay, we're going to get enough of them that are going to comply with it to cover the cost of the administrative staff mm-hmm. and everything, you know.
Well, there's no place else for them to stop.
It would
yeah.
be.
So
they're
going to have
to
yeah.
But it will also be really bad if they just chose them not to stop.
Well,
the
but they
have
they
want the
body somewhere,
yeah, stretch the
legs.
Park there, and they go on here. It's so that takes up parking spaces.
Yeah, close the gates.
And then I take staff.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, now you can just do it electronically with a little program where you can just go, I'm going to bed, and they said, hey, there'll be one more thing that we can do every night.
It got locked open because of K-Crow. There was a thing saying they could not lock the park at night, and those gates have never been closed since.
So, what was that about?
I don't know. There was something about it had to be open for the public. I just remember
so there was a lot of parks, what they'll do is they'll put the electronic gate in with the nail scripts, you know, so that at a certain time that gate goes down and it's locked, and then people can drive out, but they can't drive back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if we were going to do something like that, that's what we do. But, yeah.
That I think it was a big thing.
I think it was before my time.
Are people allowed?
Way before my time, too.
Are people allowed to, like, pitch a tent at
night
in there?
K-Crow.
I didn't mean to drop the name, by the way.
Sticking
with for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's take that out of there. somebody. It was a big deal. Those gates were installed, and then they never got used. But technically, you're not supposed to go to camp.
We can have hours.
But you have to call. You have to call when that person.
We do have hours. It's gone to that.
Where people allowed to go?
Because people don't care.
Well, I mean, you should be able to close the gate at the end of operating hours.
I'm
not sure what that accomplishes as far as reducing expense or anything else. I mean, if we're having a major vandalism problem, you know, somebody's trying to burn down the buildings, they're still going to do it with the gates locked.
Yeah.
We have to take a fence and the barbed wire.
No, the only thing closing the gates would do is keep the buses out. We'd do that.
Yeah.
I'm not proposing it. I'm just saying that is a thing that would be different if the gates were closed.
Do we have a lot of buses that come out at night?
Just a grand tour.
At night?
Yeah, Sunday nights.
They stop over to that iron door.
Get drunk and then they sleep on the bus.
You'd have to be drunk to sleep on the
bus. I'd rather have money from the parking.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, like the park, we can do concerts in the park. We can do a lot of stuff. Say, I noticed that there's a lot of the parks around the county are having concerts. So
Queenmark does every weekend all the summer long.
Their stage is tiny compared to ours.
You don't need to just stand.
You know. But yeah, they do a lot of
acoustics down there.
All right. Where do we stand?
Oh, we should open the hearing.
Yeah.
That presentation's done.
Kind of. I'll go ahead and just read it just for the sake. The purpose of this portion of the meeting is to conduct a public hearing to receive public comment and input prior to the board's consideration and adoption of the fiscal year 2023-2024 final budget. A notice regarding this public hearing was published in the Union Democrat on July 29, 2023, as required by law. This hearing was a public's opportunity to provide comments to the board of this on the 2023-2024 final budget, including appropriations limit, investment and district funds policy, miscellaneous fee schedule, employee salary schedule, and organizational chart. And it says in the moment district will, you know, give an overview, which that has obviously already been done. So we will now open the public hearing to receive input on any comments on the 2023-2024 final budget. Do you have any comments, Rachel, online?
I don't. No emails, no messages.
All right. Hearing no public input. I will now close the public hearing and bring this back to the board for discussion and action. We'll have board input on the 2023-2024 final budget that has not already been expressed.
Yes.
I move to adopt resolution 40-2023, moving that fiscal year 2023-2024 final budget, including the appropriations limit, investment funds policy, miscellaneous fee schedule, employee salary schedule, and the organizational chart.
I will second that motion.
Or third.
You know, we all want our name on this.
No, actually, you might not.
We all get, it's not the one, we all get our names. Yeah, on this
one. All righty, so motion was made by Bob Swan. Any words? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Pass by zero.
You know, having been part of the district since 1992, I think I retired from the Army and came up here to have to work. The budget's a lot bigger now. Mm-hmm. And it's processed differently now.
100% different.
Right. It's a different district than it was a few years back. And you guys are doing a good job out there. I mean, your people are doing a good job. I mean, I got a little letter from a lady that talking about low water pressure. It got, I mentioned it in the front office, and that day it was taken care of. And she was so impressed, she sent that a thank you letter. And that took everybody here. I mean, the front office working with maintenance, working with operations. I mean, that was the whole system worked that fast. Didn't used to be like that. It just didn't used to be like that. So
we actually started a little wall of congratulations types or whatever you want to call it on over here. And we got a couple emails, we got a couple cards. When you get an email, it's pretty substantial, right? It's cool to get that. But when you get somebody mailing in a card, it seems over the top.
Yeah.
So especially just, you know, the appreciation of the person. So we got a little appreciation.
Well, it's just an older person that doesn't have email.
it could be, but still, it takes some effort to get it in mail and mail it.
It's far more personal.
Pay for the little postcard it came on. You know,
you know, the district is doing extremely well, I think. And this budget is just part of it. But we're right down to the line here, it sounds like, on the budget. You know? But above the line.
You need to get above the line. Fire department and here. Get the salt taken care of.
The water rates are going to help us.
Because first of the year isn't that far off.
You know, I live on a fixed income, and it's like getting a pay cut. You know, everything goes up except my pay. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough.
Yeah.
It is. It's tough. And we live, the district's on a fixed income, but everything that you get goes up. So we gotta increase the water rates to make a difference, to take up the slack. That's kind of the way I look at it. Water rates have been going up, and they're gonna go up.
Well, it goes up like milk goes up. Everything
Like right. My wife always compares it to that sourdough bread she buys, the big long loaf. She says, it used to be $1.99, you know? Yeah, well, that's
where did you buy it? It's way above that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was just an example, but you know, that's
last time I bought some Raymond bread, it was like close to $7.
Ready. So we are going to call for the adjournment at 10:59.